Amen. You may be seated. There's a reality that I want you all to really embrace this week, this particularly Sunday morning as we headlong into fall and then winter, and then as we get ready to move toward the first of the year. And what we're going to be doing on Sunday nights and Saturday nights or Saturday mornings or Fridays or Thursdays, whenever you choose to do it, the idea of through our life groups and through families, couples, individuals that are just growing in their relationship with the Lord, taking the responsibility on yourselves to follow the Lord, to make disciples. And so you're going to hear a ton about that. A matter of fact, it's a very vital part of our 2016 mission strategy, making disciples locally and globally. And what does that look like? Not just going on short-term trips or not just inviting people to come. And although both of those are part of it, we really want to own the responsibility of sharing the gospel with people who need to hear the gospel. And this is the reality that I want and have been praying all week that the Lord would lay on our heart as a faith family and that He would capture our attention with. And it's this, that there are lost people everywhere. There are lost people here this morning, people who are just seekers or inquiring of the Lord, and they're coming to hear the gospel. They're checking the Lord out. They're wanting to know, is God real? There's lost people in our community, right? Our neighbors and friends and co-workers and people that we meet at the market. And I'm just amazed. If you say, well, I would do evangelism, I just don't know where to start. And I would just say to you, go to Walmart. And don't go in a hectic day where you're tempted to run your cart over somebody. Go at a non-hectic time, and there are just a ton of people there. And you can talk to the people as you're checking out. You can buzz the bell and have somebody come back there, and you can ask them a question like, where would I find this? What would I do? And then you can begin to share and strike up conversation with folks. And there's just people everywhere that are lost. If you believe that to be true this morning, say amen. And then there's not only those people who are lost, but there are those people who just have great needs in their life. Maybe they profess Christ as a young child or a teenager. Maybe they went to a church that really didn't teach them about growing in their faith. And maybe they weren't rooted and established in the doctrine of Christ and in the apostles' teaching. And so, therefore, they're just babes in Christ. They've known about Christ for years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but they're still infants in Christ. And they have real issues in life that they've not learned to trust the Lord with yet. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's some terrible health diagnosis, and they're facing that all alone, and they're thinking to themselves, man, I didn't think trusting Christ would end up like this. I have this terrible diagnosis, and I'm not for sure if I'm going to live. Maybe it is a husband looks at a wife after 10 years of marriage and says, I no longer want to be faithful to you. I no longer want to be married to you. And her life just comes shattering down around her. Maybe it is a husband who hears that, you know, he's got a wife that is just struggling and she doesn't want to follow Christ. And he's thinking maybe that they should. And he's just wrestling with his role as a man and how to lead his family properly. There are people with real life issues. If you understand that, say amen. And so there are people who are lost that if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity apart from Christ. There are people who may know Christ, but may know Christ in a very elementary way or in a very beginning way, and they've not learned to trust His Word and to walk in faith yet. And people like that everywhere need to be discipled. And what is discipleship, Pastor? It's the idea of sharing the gospel. So the first part is evangelizing, right? It is sharing the good news, evangelism, that word comes, its root means heralding of the good news, right? And so we are to tell them about the good news. And then once we continue in those Christ-centered conversations to a point where a person says, I'm ready to receive Christ, then we begin to talk to them about what it means to follow Christ, right? If somebody had come to me at 19 and said, all right, here's what it means to follow Christ. You're going to need to give 10% of everything you owe. You need to give that joyfully, but beyond that, you need to give a lot more than that, and you need to do it hilariously. And then if they would have said, now as a 19-year-old guy, You can no longer have premarital sex. You can no longer go do what you want to do. God's going to call you to a chaste life until you're married. And then, oh, by the way, once you're married, you're going to walk in faithfulness. And as a godly man, you're going to have the responsibility of leading your wife and discipling her and discipling your children. And you're going to be called to lead your church and lead your community. If somebody would have came and told me all of that when they were telling me about Christ, I would have probably said, hey, not interested in all that, right? But they didn't. They began by telling me about my sin nature, which I was fully aware of, how Jesus could forgive me of that sin nature. And then once I said yes to Jesus and I came to know him and experience his love, and I'm at a place now where I'm saying, whatever I need to do to follow Jesus, then they start saying to me, you know what, if you love Jesus, you're going to need to start praying. You need to start communicating with him. You need to start talking with him. If you love Jesus, you need to start understanding and hearing his word and reading it, right? And so we grow together in Christ. And I want to submit to you today. Are you listening, church? If you are, say amen. I've come loaded for bear. Are y'all ready to receive the word today? Are y'all ready? Listen to this. That encouragement to make disciples happens best within the circle of life groups, to where we can be encouraged to go make disciples. So I want you to listen to the Raleys. Scott and Wes and Nick have us set up back there. And I want you to listen to this couple who the Lord put on their heart to start a life group to do exactly what I'm talking about, and that is to evangelize and disciple people so that people could come to faith in Christ. Give your attention to this video, will you?
I'm Bruce, and this is my wife, Donna. We're empty nesters. Several years ago, after our children left the house, we began to pray, and we just felt like God wanted us to begin to invest our lives into the lives of young adults. There were some couples that invested their lives in us when we were young adults, and we said, we want to do that with others. And so we began a class, a Bible study group for young adults. In particular, we were looking at trying to invest in those that were newly married. Problem is, this may come as a shock, but we're not young adults. We didn't even really know a lot of young adults. We don't hang out with young adults. But it was amazing how God just put them across our path. We set a date to start a new group, and literally the week before, we didn't know if anybody would show up but just us. We were going to be a Sunday morning group. On that Saturday, we met a young couple, Don and Casey. Do you remember them? And we met Don and Casey, and we invited them to come to our group. They were there the next day. In fact, four others were there. There were eight of us there on that first Sunday that we met together. The group began to grow. You know, I discovered it really is all about relationships. In fact, discipleship takes place best in the context of relationships, and relationships occur in smaller groups. Donna has a gift of hospitality, so we'd invite the young couples over to our house at least once a month for a cookout or just to play games, to watch ball games, to have a good time together. She really mentored a lot of the younger ladies. We came together for Bible study on Sunday. We did missions together. And you know, during the course of that first year, we saw two of those young adults come to faith in Christ and baptized. In addition to that, several of them went out and they began ministries in the children's area, the preschool area, and other areas as well. We'd been together about a year, and one Sunday, there were 20 of us in our group. And I asked them that Sunday, I said, how many of you were not in a Bible study group? You weren't in a Sunday school before we began this group. And 14 of those that were there that day raised their hand. But that's not the end of the story. Those 14 also had six kids in the children and preschool area. 20 more people were in Bible study because of a new group. That's why groups matter.
Life groups really matter, and it's not just something that I'm trying to convince you all. It's the pattern of the New Testament. And so take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And I want us to be reading verses 42 down through 47, but primarily I want us to focus on verses 46 and 47 when the physician Luke, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, uses the phrase day by day. And I want to talk to you about day-by-day disciple-making. Day-by-day disciple-making, being encouraged and empowered through your life group, being led by your life group to go out and be able to make disciples, to be able to share your faith, to be able to grow in Christ with others. It is a tremendous, tremendous fact. In my 10-year here at Calvary, this is the fourth time that I'm going to be preaching Acts chapter 42 through 47. I've never preached it the same way twice, including today. And I wanted you to look at 46 and 47, and I want you to pay very close attention to the words here. The background and context is it's during the days of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has fallen. Peter has preached. 3,000 people were saved. I mean, Jerusalem is abuzz because they came to exercise their Jewish religion, and they've come to meet the Messiah himself. And so God's at work saving people, and the church is growing like crazy. It is growing in an exponential way. 3,000 are saved. Just a couple days later, 5,000 more are saved. And I mean, there are life groups bursting out everywhere. Families meeting together in homes, encouraging one another, learning what it means to follow Christ and his teachings. And this is the way that Luke records it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He said, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Now here's our focus. "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Day by day, disciple making happens best within the circle of life group relationships. This pattern is not only clearly seen here in our text today, but it's clearly seen all throughout the New Testament. There are people who have needs, who long to be discipled. There are people who have yet to find the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in the confines of a group. Now, some of you may pause right here and say, "Well, preacher, I'm just not a group person. I don't like people. I'm an introvert. I'd rather be by myself." And I want to say to you, that may be your sin nature. Listen to what I'm saying. That may be your sin nature's desire to be by yourself and to be alone. But it is not what God created you for. God created you for community. It's a lot easier to live in isolation, but it's a lot more harmful and deadly for you to live in isolation. This is why so many people who retire, when folks come to me and say, "Pastor, I'm retiring," normally the first thing I say is, "Congratulations." And then I normally say this, "What are you going to do with all of your time?" Because if you are not active and busy and volunteering and giving and going out and staying busy and being with people and you isolate yourself in a house by yourself, I want to say to you, it is not healthy. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. If your husband or wife passes and they are no longer living, you have freedom to remarry. If everybody who's a believer should affirm that and say amen. Oh, come on. Every one of you should affirm that and say amen. Amen. Why would you want a mom or a dad to live in isolation when you're running around seeing the 8 little kids and you want your mom to live over there as a widow, or you want your dad to live over there as a widower? Why would you want that? Why would you want that when God says, hey, if you want to marry, you should remarry, right? I'm preaching the gospel today. Hello? Hello? I heard my mom dress down my aunt one time, and she was on the phone, and my uncle had died, which was my mom's brother, and this is like 4 years later, and Aunt Marie, bless her heart, a great soul, she says to my mom, "Well, I think I may go eat dinner with Albert." And my mom, she says, "What? You can't go eat supper with Albert? What are you talking about? Marie, you should be ashamed. You should feel bad." When my mom hung up the phone, I said, "I can't wait to give Uncle Albert a hug." And she said, "What are you talking about? Don't you be telling Aunt Marie to be going and doing that." And I turned my Bible to Romans chapter 7, and I said, are you a believer? And my mom, sitting there at her kitchen table, said, yes. And I said, do you agree with this or not? Well. Right? That's what we do. When the word is there, here's what we want to say. Well. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying whether you're a widow or widower. I'm saying whether you're single or whether you're married and you've got 5 kids. Here's what I'm saying to you. God's designed you for community. And so it's good for us to be in community together. And here's why. Notice the phrase in verse 46. Luke says, attending the temple together. And day by day, attending the temple together. Day by day, we live in faithfulness together. The custom of the Jewish religion required them to go to the temple daily. There were set times throughout today where scripture was read, it was explained, and priests would share in the word, scribes would interpret the word, people would come and worship. Now, if you say, well, preacher, we don't worship every week, so how is it that we can be faithful together every day? Are you saying that we should gather here together every day to worship? No, but you can encourage one another in faithfulness every day. People in life groups inspire one another to live faithfully before the Lord each day. And we do that in 2 primary ways. We inspire one another to walk in faithfulness. And the way that we do that is through modeling the life of a believer to someone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, never minimize the influence of your daily walk. Don't do it. Both positively and negatively, you are influencing other people. So be conscious of the way that you live and know that people are watching you, and you encourage and inspire people to walk in faithfulness when they look at your life. And when they look at your life and they see you walking obediently before the Lord. And so we encourage one another to live in faithfulness together day by day, through the way that we live, through the way that we walk, through the way that we model. Some people just need to see how you live together as a couple. Are y'all listening to me? How do you do that? Some people need to see how you fight together and stay married. How many of you fight as a married couple? How many couples did not raise a hand? You're lying and the truth is not in you. You're lying and the truth is not in you. You fight, you quarrel, you say things that are disparaging to one another. But I want you to understand this. There are young families that need to see how you disagree in the faith and stay together. How you love each other, how you stand by each other, how that you discipline your children, how that you encourage your children. People need to see that modeled before them. It's one thing to hear it from a pulpit. It's another thing to hear it on a radio or a podcast. But it's another thing to see that lived out in front of them. We as believers are not pretenders. Can I get an amen? And so therefore, we encourage one another to live in faithfulness. We inspire one another to live in faithfulness through the walk or modeling. And I want to just say to you as a highlight of this, there is a social media aspect of this that is crucial in these days. There is a Facebook and a Twitter and a Pinterest and a who knows whatever else is out there, Instagram. And there's a part of that that is crucial in these days. If you are on those social media forums, you should not be superficial. You say, preacher, why do you not use social media more? I get discouraged, to be quite honest. It's just so superficial in so many ways. I hear people say things on social media that I've never heard them say in life group, in this church, or anywhere. They won't quote a scripture to a kid here at this church, but they quote a scripture on Facebook, and I think, holy schmoly. It sounds good, don't it? Sounds good. It looks good. It's sort of like when the preacher would stand at the back door and everybody go out, he'd shake your hand and he'd say something like, hey, I'm praying for you this week. He knows good and well he wasn't praying for those people. If he spent all his time praying for 500 people, he wouldn't have had time to do anything else, right? Well, here's what I'm saying. If you're saying, preacher, should we not be on social media? No, you should. But here's what I'm saying to you. Make sure that you are understanding people are watching that social media, positively and negatively. See, I really don't care if you're a pastor, a deacon, a teacher, a missionary. If all you do on Twitter or Facebook is throw stones and talk about how negative some situation is and just how bad every situation is or how bad this person was or what you saw or what you did, you know what you're doing? You're just gossiping. And all the people on social media are trending with you and watching that. And you know what it's doing? It's not encouraging them in their discipleship. It's hurting them in a negative way because it's minimizing the picture of Christ to a lost and dying world. If you use social media, brag on Jesus, right? If you use social media, sing the praises of the Lord. If you use social media, choose to be an encourager and not a discourager. So we model and we walk, and in doing so, we live in faithfulness together. And then through worship, life groups are a great place for us as life group members, people in life group, to be able to say, hey, let's all read Ephesians this week, all right? Let's do that. Let's not just study our word, and we're studying right now about Abraham or whatever. But, hey, could we all, Ephesians is a short book. There's six chapters. We got 7 days. Could we read between now and then the book of Ephesians together as a class? Could we do that? Hey, what are you doing for quiet time? Man, that would share what you're doing for quiet time. That's a great idea. Let's be faithful in our studying of the word together or in prayer or in giving or in witness or in teaching and mentoring. We encourage one another daily to worship the Lord and to walk and follow Christ. Disciple others by living faithfully. Now listen to what I did not say. I did not say you have to encourage people and inspire people or disciple people by being perfect. By being perfect. There are no perfect people. Are y'all good with that? And so you're not at this seat of authority because of your perfection or because of your practice. But if you're in a place to disciple someone else, it's because of what Jesus has done in your heart and life. And then you can share with others. And part of that is being able to say, can I tell you how I've blown it? Are y'all all right with that? Can I tell you how I've blown it? And can I tell you how rich God was in mercy to restore me? That is discipling in a great way. But then look at this second phrase in verse 46. And breaking bread in their homes. And breaking bread in their homes. Day by day, we live in community together. We not only live in faithfulness together, but through life groups, we're able to help make disciples of others as we spend time with them. And breaking bread in their homes. This is the theology of potlucks. Can I get an amen? Somebody says, why do you Baptists, every time you meet, you want to have a fellowship meal? You want to get together. You want to eat. And I just say, you know what? It's real biblical. Now, we didn't always gather in one place and do it. They did it in their homes. But they met together, and they broke bread together. Now, I always get this question, preacher, is that in reference to communion, or is that in reference of sharing in a meal together? And it's both. The idea is that they would be in their homes, they would share in a meal together. Before they departed, they would study the apostles' teaching together, they would pray together, and they would observe communion together, and then they would disperse, right? And so the idea is that they were demonstrating hospitality. They were eating together. They were opening their homes to one another. For those who had, they would supply, and for those who would have not, they would do what they could, and they just shared in life together. They were learning, growing, sharing, and helping one another together. Doing life together is vitally important because it's in that context, watch this, it's in that context that people see the word that's modeled that we talked about there first, and they hear the word reaffirmed. They hear the word reaffirmed. One day, when we were on vacation, the boys put me on some of their music, right? And so I've got my own sort of station, this 100.7. It's sort of like oldies, my generation music, you know. And I know all the words to all those songs because I sung them as a rebel. So I just, when I'm not listening to some 90.7 or 89.1, whatever it is, I normally will have that on and just listen to some songs and sing along. When we go on vacation, the boys throw up their stuff, right? So I get introduced to, what's these rappers? Blaze, Flame, what is it? Jake, help me. The rappers, what are their names? Huh? Well, I can't hear you. Oh, Lecrae. Lecrae and who else? Levi's shaking me off like, no, I can't believe this. So I hear all this, and then they introduce me to songs like Geronimo, right? Hey, Geronimo, hey, Geronimo. And I think, man, that's a really catchy tune, right? Shut Up and Dance. Have y'all heard that? Have y'all heard that? I mean, and so they introduced me to this stuff, and I'm listening to it. And so I say, put that on my phone and show me how I can get it on my radio. So do you know that on a phone, you can press a button and it'll come on your radio now? Did y'all know that? If you're over 65, raise your hand if you just realized that you can put music on your phone, punch a button, and it play over your car stereo. Raise your hand. There's several. You didn't know you could do that. I didn't either. I'm right with y'all. But you can do it. So Brian and I are going down to Austin Tracy one day to mentor. Is that where we were going? I don't know where. Everybody. We were going to eat and fellowship together. Everybody's so, y'all are on pins and needles. You're saying, he's calling out everybody. Oh, Lord, I hope he don't come to me, right? We're just going, and I said, listen to some of these songs. Have you heard these songs? I should have known he'd heard all of them, right? And I threw them on the radio, and I turned it up, man. And that old Mountaineer's got these big speakers. Man, it was going down the road. And he was just laughing like crazy. And I said, what's the matter with you? And he said, it does my heart good to know my preacher listens to this stuff every once in a while. And it was just like, what, do you not think I'm human? Now listen to me. Listen to me. If you want your pastors straight-laced, talk, never laugh, and to get up Sunday after Sunday and tell you what hardened sinners you are and then never share the gospel with you, I'm just not that kind of guy, right? Because here's what I know. Y'all listen to that music. Y'all listen to it, right? How many of you listen to Taylor Swift? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest, right? And oh, Adele, she's just beating her, blowing every record out of the water right now, right? Adele, she went off the scene for 3 years. Is it Odell? What's her name? Adele? Oh, just Adele. Okay. Adele. So Taylor Swift, Adele just leaves the stage for 3 years, right? And Taylor Swift rises to the forefront. And now the next thing you know, Adele comes back on the scene and she shatters every record poor Taylor Swift ever thought. I like Adele. She's a big, heavyset woman, right? Taylor Swift convicts me. She's skinny. Are y'all listening? Listen, listen, listen. Listen, when you listen to music together, when you watch a game together, when you share in a meal together, you can talk about all of that stuff and how the gospel comes to bear on it. So I can say things like this. Adele has no business calling her old lover. He's moved on and he's got married. And she don't need to be calling him and saying hello. That's not Christ's will for her. Come on. You can allow the gospel to come to bear on the daily situations and walks of life. It may have nothing to do with music. It may have nothing to do with football or basketball, Kentucky or Louisville. It may have something to do with work. You're just inviting people over and you're just talking about how this has not gone right or how this has not gone right or this has not gone right and how the gospel comes to bear day by day. We should disciple others by spending time with them and being friendly as you share Christ. And here's the other thing. Look at verse 46. See, it says, not only did they break bread in their homes, but it says they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, we live in Christ-centered contentment together. Notice the phrase, with glad and generous hearts. When we live in life group community together and we're able to spend time getting to know people together, whether those people are lost, whether those people are saved and just new in the faith and they've not learned how to grow in the Lord, we can demonstrate what it means to have real, genuine, Christ-centered commitment together. People in life groups inspire one another to be joyful and generous. Lost people need to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hello. It's not that just if Kentucky wins or if I get a raise or if a certain party wins office or if I get a tax refund or if I do not get diagnosed with some awful disease. They need to know that the real joy of our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It's not contingent for us as Christians about our circumstances. You may be wealthy and praise Jesus, but you may be dirt poor and praise Jesus. You may have a wonderful family. You may have no family, but we praise Jesus together. And these folks were able and they were glad and happy to share. They were content with their possessions. They understood Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy 6:6-7 when he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. Day by day, we live in Christ-centered contentment together. If you say, preacher, are you telling me that discipling someone is allowing them to see you the way that you live and obey God and fail God? And I would say, yes. And if you say, are you saying that discipling someone is allowing them to see Scripture through your contentment and your joy? And I would say, absolutely, it is. It's through allowing people to see how God's at work in us. Oh, Calvary Baptist Church, our stakes and claims in this world must be shallow and light. Can I ask you a question? Are you ready to follow God wherever He leads, wherever He calls, no matter what He asks you to do? Do you have any affection in your life that is greater than your affection for Jesus and the mission He has called you to? Do you love your mom and dad and your children more than you love following Jesus and being obedient to Him? If God called you to adopt some little kid who is an orphan or who is under state and government control, and He's saying to you, open your home, but you're afraid to open your home to a person like that because of what other people may say, are you having an affection for them more than you're having an affection for Christ and the mission that He is setting before us? I am reminded daily that our roots should be shallow. I'm reminded daily that if God says to Tracy and I am through with you here at Calvary and I am sending you to China or Malaysia or Russia, or I want you to go plant a church in downtown Chicago, that I must be ready to say to Tracy, are you ready to go? Because God is calling us and leading us there. And you say, Pastor, well, that is absolutely ridiculous and that is absolutely insane. I want you to hear your pastor's heart. I would rather be obedient to Jesus out there on the edge somewhere, not knowing what tomorrow holds, than being comfortable here disobeying Jesus. Do you have an affection that's greater than your affection for Christ and His call upon your life to follow Him in obedience? Oh, my brothers and sisters, our roots here need to be shallow. As God fills this place and we begin to plant churches, are you going to be willing to say, I'm going to leave those new chairs. I'm going to leave the new sanctuary. I'm going to leave the new children's building when it opens. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to go and I'm going to be part of this group that goes and plants a church. Are you willing to do that and follow Jesus? Day by day, we live in Christ-centered contentment together. Shallow roots, thanking God for who He is and what we have. Disciple others by being joyful and generous. Let them see that you love Jesus more than this world. Hello? More than this world. Day by day, look at verse 47. Day by day, we live praising God together. 47a, it says this. They received their food with glad and generous hearts for 46. And then 47, praising God. Praising God. You know what they were doing? They were understanding that somehow the Spirit of God is pleased when the people of God praise Him. And so He manifests Himself upon and within the lives of people who praise Him. If you're hearing you say, I'm just not sensing God. I'm not just feeling God. I'm just not recognizing God. Can I ask you, are you praising God? Or are you just grumbling the whole time? Are you just complaining the whole time? Because the Holy Spirit desires to be praised. And when we praise God and we praise the Holy Spirit and we're just living our life being thankful, generous, joyful, and praising the Lord, God just shows up. He takes real pleasure in that. And people in life groups inspire one another to speak often and well of Jesus, speak often and well of His word and His promises, His assurances and His provision. And in doing so, you're discipling people. Can I say to you, are you listening, Calvary? Are you listening? The sky is not falling. Did you hear me? It doesn't matter if we get 8 more years of Obama or if we get 8 years of a Republican. It doesn't matter what we think is going on in our communities and around the world. It doesn't matter if Russia starts bombing us, China starts bombing us, or if we start bombing someone else. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. If you say, preacher, aren't you concerned how all that's going to shake out? We win in the end. Whether through life or whether through death, whether through joy or whether through heartache, whether through abundance or whether through poverty, we win. Hello? That's the kind of gospel that you need to be propagating and sharing with others. That Jesus Christ is Lord over the universe. He is Lord over His church. He is Lord over His people. And it does not matter what Rand Paul says. The sky is not falling. Hello? I'm just a little wore out with that. Can you tell? This whole idea that I'm a believer in Jesus, but man, these are the worst times of our life and everything's about to fall apart and God can't do anything about it. Your God may not be able to. Nothing that has occurred has caught my God unaware. And with a spoken word, He brings it to naught. To naught. And if you say, but preacher, what happened if all of this is a consequence of America's disobedience? If it's a consequence of our disobedience and God is punishing us, let us learn that lesson well. And let us cry out for mercy to God. Day by day, we live in Christ-centered contentment together. We live praising God together. And then day by day, we live finding favor with people to share the gospel together. And it says, in having favor, verse 47, with all the people. Do you see what's going on? They're joyful. They're generous. They're praising God. They're learning together. They're living together. They're living together in Christ-centered community. They're following Christ. And watch what happens. It is appealing witness to people who are lost. And when it says, and they found favor with all the people, it's the same language that is used in Luke 2:52 when it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and He grew in favor with men. What does that mean? It means that socially, Christians were being listened to and they were being found having favor with folks and people were saying, now tell me that truth again. How is it that I experienced that? How can I be delivered from that sin? And God was working in their hearts and their lives. Day by day, we live finding favor with people to share the gospel together. I want to encourage you to make friends with people who are not believers. Life groups are not closed groups that just say, all right, all of my church friends can come over and we're going to eat. Life groups are open groups that say, who on my block or who do I know that I can invite to come over and eat? Tracy and I had some folks over and we had some believers over and we had some unbelievers over. It was on a Sunday afternoon. We were eating supper or lunch together and we were just eating and we were just fellowshipping, laughing, having a big time. And I just said to the folks, hey, just go around real quick so I can get accustomed and hear your story about how Jesus has become Lord of your life. Will you tell me that? And people just went around and began to share. And of course, people that did not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they just said something like, I'm not there yet. And I said, it's okay that you're not there yet. I'm glad that you're here, right? And don't you ought not feel ashamed you're not there yet. You're where the Lord wants you, in a place to where you can hear the gospel. And at what point Jesus is ready to save you and you're ready to follow, I promise you that connection will happen. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that Jesus saves sinners? And we don't save them. Jesus saves them. And all we're to do is tell them about them, tell them about the Lord, tell them the gospel, and we are to love them and encourage them. So we find favor with people to share the gospel and the Lord. Verse 47, and having favor with all the people. And then listen to what the Bible says. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What was he saying? And the Lord is this one who can save sinners and change hearts. And in these life group communities and home gatherings, the Lord just continued to add to their number day by day those who were being saved. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the need is great. There are people who need to grow in the Lord and be discipled, right? There are people who need to turn away from their sin and trust Christ. There are people who need to understand there's a better way for my life than the path that I'm currently living and walking in and understanding. Would you stand to your feet? You need to know that those people do not oppose, listen, they do not oppose you inviting them to dinner or you saying to them, could we meet and just talk and hang out a little bit? And in that, say, can I have an opportunity to share with you about Jesus and how he changed my life? And if you're sincere and people don't think you're just trying to put a gospel notch on your belt, right? They're going to say, well, sure. If they feel like it's a safe context for them to be able to share, they're going to share with you. And you're going to have this wonderful opportunity to say, I want to tell you how Jesus forgave me of my sins and gave me a new heart and a new life, and how he's been growing me and maturing me in him. We're always quick to add, you know what, I'm not there yet. I blow it, but Jesus is working in me, and I give him glory for that. Day by day, disciple making through the circle and the relationships of life groups is an amazing, amazing thing. I hope that you will be praying about who you can invest in. Who could you begin to build relationship with just to begin to talk? See, if you say, well, I shared the gospel and they didn't receive Christ, so I'm moving on. Well, what happened if God didn't have them at that point yet? Do we only care for people that listen or who are ready to worship? Or do we care for all people? Right? So we want to care for all people. And by the way, you're going to hear this because you're ready to leave. Listen to this. We do not oppose the transgender. And we do not oppose the homosexual. We love homosexual people. We love people who are caught in identity trap and they don't understand who they are in Christ and what their true identity is. Now, do we oppose sin? Yes. Do we oppose how the enemy is trying to harm people? Absolutely. But we love sinners. Can I get an amen? Here's what I'm very aware of. If God didn't love me through my own disobedience, I wouldn't even be able to be here and be able to preach today. Because my great sin of gluttony is ever before me. And so if God was this God that just checked me off, get out, you know where I would be? I'd probably be in a hunting stand this morning. But God loves sinners. If you're grateful for that, say amen. Let's go love them this week. Let's go buy somebody dinner and talk to them and say, man, I just want to spend some time with you and hang out and see what's going on in your life. Oh, by the way, can I pray for you and pray with you as we leave today? And just pray for them. How many of you realize lives are crumbling around us? Let's tell them about Jesus. Maybe some of you this morning, your heart has been stirred and convicted, and you would say, God, I want to be a better disciple maker. I want to invite you to come as Belinda and Justin begin to lead us. Maybe there's somebody you want to pray for. Maybe there's something that you just have a deeper, greater affection for in your life right now. Someone or something than Christ, and you want to turn from that. Whatever need you have, will you come this morning? I want to invite you to come now. Father, in the name of Jesus, work as only you can, is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name.